Welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast, where we talk about the key issues facing the accounting profession. I'm Ken Titions, editorial director with the Journal of Accountancy. In today's podcast, we have with us Betsy Kreischer, a CPA and president of the Pennsylvania-based firm Marr Disel. Betsy is going to talk with us about the things not-for-profits need to watch for regarding the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Betsy will present at the 2019 Not-for-Profit Industry Conference, scheduled June 10th through the 12th in Washington, D.C. For more information on the conference, please visit not.aicpastore.com. That's not.aicpastore.com.
Thanks for joining us, Betsy.
Glad to be here, Ken.
The impacts of the 2017 tax bill are front and center now that the 2018 tax season has started for calendar year taxpayers. Tax-exempt organizations were definitely part of the bill. How were they specifically affected?
Yes, tax-exempt organizations definitely were impacted by the bill. There were actually four key provisions that impact tax-exempt organizations. So I'm going to go ahead and discuss a summary of each provision, moving from the least impactful in terms of number of entities affected to what we believe is the most impactful in terms of number of entities affected. So again, least impactful, we're going to start with Section 4968, excise tax based on investment income of private colleges and universities. Section 4968 imposes on each applicable education institution, as defined within the section, an excise tax equal to 1.4% of the institution's net investment income for the taxable year. This is effective for tax years beginning after 12/31/2017, and we'll see that repeated throughout the podcast for the provisions. Three of the four, the first three, really are follow that tax years beginning after 12/31/2017 implementation date. Only the fourth does not. In terms of where you want to look for guidance on this, notice 2018-55 gave additional guidance for Section 4968. It provided some, what I believe is help to the institutions by saying that if you had an investment that you held prior to 12/31/17 and held it continuously, you could use the fair market value at 12/31/17 as the basis from which forward you will calculate net investment income on that particular investment held continuously since 12/31/17. You can net losses against gains, but you just can't have excess losses, and there will be no capital loss carryovers or carrybacks. 2018 Form 990 had redesigned with some additional questions to help organizations think about whether or not these new provisions apply to them. So for this particular tax, 2018 Form 990 Part 5 Number 16, again Part 5 Number 16, asked the question of as to whether or not this tax does apply to you as a filer. If it does apply to you, you will pay this excise tax through Form 4720, Return of Certain Excise Taxes, under Chapters 41 and 42 of the Internal Revenue Code, the formal name of Form 4720. You're going to look to line 14, Tax on Net Investment Income of Private Colleges and Universities, and you're going to also have to fill out and attach a Schedule O for this tax. We believe that this particular section will only impact about 30 to 50 institutions in the country, so again, limited impact for Section 4968.
Thanks, Betsy. The new tax law also addresses compensation for executives of tax-exempt organizations. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Section 4960 indicated that applicable tax-exempt organizations or a related organization that pays remuneration in excess of $1 million or any excess parachute payment as defined is subject to an excise tax equal to the corporate tax rate, which of course at this point is 21%. It does have an exclusion for medical and veterinarian professionals that provide licensed services. For this particular excise tax, Section 4960, there's a new notice that just came out in 2019-09, that gives a lot of detailed guidance on this particular tax. 92-page document that guidance is. It has lots of examples. It does have some requests for comments. It has 39 questions and answers for you to delve into when you're trying to apply this tax. So certainly if you think 4960 applies to you, you're going to want to look at that 2019-09 guidance. Again, the 2018 Form 990 Part 5 has a new question, number 15, that is a tickler question for organizations filing to think about whether Section 4960 applies to them. Similar to Section 4968, you will pay that excise tax through Form 4720, the excise tax form. You'll refer to line 13, Schedule N. And again, this is for tax years beginning after, employers' tax years beginning after 12/31/17, remuneration paid prior to the beginning of that first tax year that begins after 12/31/17 is not subject to the excise tax. As we think about Form 990s, I know there will be another podcast that will be coming out shortly that deals with how to make your 990 prep easier. So pay attention to that podcast as you struggle with these new questions and new tax sections.
Great. Thanks, Betsy. I understand that sometimes nonprofits engage in certain activities that they do have to pay taxes on, similar to a for-profit business. Can you explain to me how the new tax law affected this kind of taxable activity for nonprofits?
Sure. Again, the tax law has a new section, new code section, Section 512A6, that requires separate computation of unrelated business income taxes. So essentially, what happens is you have to now calculate for each particular trade or business tax for that particular trade or business. And if you have an activity that loses money as opposed to generates taxable income, you no longer can offset the gains from your profitable trade or business activity against the losses. Can't bring that taxable income down like they used to. So you're going to only pay tax where you generate taxable income, and you're not going to get the benefit of losses from trade or business activities that are unrelated that do not generate net income. You can carry those losses forward for that particular trade or business, but you can't offset them against the winners like you used to be able to do that. The IRS put out additional guidance with regard to this code section through Notice 2018-67. There's a lot of good interim guidance and discussion by the IRS and Treasury within that notice, including some suggestions on how to define a particular trade or business. There's discussion about using NICS codes to do that within that notice. It also talks about how you can, gives interim guidance on being able to aggregate qualified partnership interests as one particular trade or business, which is really helpful for those organizations that do have unrelated trade or business income generated from investment partnerships. If they had to calculate each one of those separately and report them separately, it would be a huge burden. So that was welcome news to get that guidance on how you can aggregate qualified partnership interests. Again, this particular code section didn't change the rules of what makes something an unrelated trade or business, just really how you report it and calculate tax on it. Again, you're going to do this through the newly designed Form 990-T for 2018, which has still been drafted, and it should be issued in final form shortly. There is a new Part 3 that is now in the form that navigates the calculations, and new Schedule M's. You're going to do the first page of the 990-T for your first unrelated trade or business, and then you will have an additional Schedule M to report the profit and loss activity for each subsequent unrelated trade or business. This, again, is effective for tax years beginning after 12/31/17.
We're here with Betsy Kreischer of Marr Dissel talking about the impacts of the new tax law on tax-exempt organizations. Betsy, can you tell us about how the law increases unrelated business taxable income by disallowing deductions for certain fringe benefits?
Yes, and when we started this podcast, we talked about we were going from provisions that had the least impact in terms of number of entities effective. And again, Section 4968 was only going to impact about 30 to 50 institutions, working our way through Section 4960 and Section 512A6, separate computation of view, but picking up impacts across numbers of organizations as we've gone along. And finally, we're to Section 512A7, unrelated business income by disallowed fringe. This one probably has, we think, the potential to really impact most not-for-profit organizations. As amended by the Act, Section 274A4 generally disallowed a deduction for expenses with respect to qualified transportation fringe benefits provided by taxpayer to their employees. That's on the for-profit side, no deduction for qualified transportation fringe benefits. But now through Section 512A7 for tax-exempt organizations, this now generally provides that a tax-exempt organization's unrelated business taxable income is now increased by the amount of qualified transportation fringe benefit expense that's non-deductible under Section 274. So now, by providing these qualified transportation fringe benefits, tax-exempt organizations have to pay tax at the corporate rate, now 21%, on the amount of benefit provided. This provision, unlike the three prior that were effective for tax years beginning after 12/31/17, was actually effective for qualified transportation fringe benefits provided as of January 1st of 2018. The IRS and Treasury just came out with notices at the end of 2018, in December of 2018, notices 2018-99, which provided additional guidance on how to apply Section 512A7, including various examples as to how you would pay this tax or not take the deduction. And 2018-100, that notice gave some interim relief for estimated tax penalties for organizations that met the criteria in terms of not-for-profits that hadn't previously filed a 990-T for the prior year, that had a 990-T to file this year, only for these qualified transportation fringe benefits. They can get no penalty on not having made estimated tax payments. You are going to pay this tax, again, like Section 512A6, through the new 2018 Form 990-T. Again, that new Part 3, Line 34, speaks specifically to these UBI by disallowed fringe. Deductions for net operating losses arising in tax years beginning before January 1st, 2018 can offset any taxable income from provision of the qualified transportation fringe benefits. There is another podcast that will be coming that will talk more in depth about unrelated business income tax and 990-T, and we'll have also a fuller discussion about Section 512A7.
Thanks, Betsy. This has been great information. Thank you for joining us, and I'd also like to thank our audience for joining us today. Please visit journalofaccountancy.com or Podomatic to hear more podcasts like this one.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.